Hallelujah. King of glory. King of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just reminded, as you know, the scripture says we can call upon the name of the Lord wherever we are, whatever we're going through. Doesn't have to just be Sunday morning you call on the Lord. The King of glory will be there for you. The King of glory will show up for you wherever you are, anytime, anywhere. The King of glory is present to heal. He's present to break free the sin and the bondage of your life. The King of glory is present everywhere. Amen. Don't wait for Sunday morning worship time to call on the King of glory. Hallelujah. He's in you. He's with you. He's for you. He's not against you. The King of glory isn't here to judge you. Amen. He's here to set you free. Amen. That's why we're here today. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you sing and you start honoring and believing what the Word says, that there's salvation in the name, where the name is, there's freedom. So if the name is in your heart, you're free. If the name is in your mind and on your lips, you're free. If the name is in your body and you're claiming it for you, that you are a child of God, guess what? You're healed. Amen. Wherever Jesus is, whoo, there's freedom. Man, grab a hold of the truth. You don't have to live in sickness, disease, worry, or fear another day of your life. You don't have to be anxious anymore. You don't have to worry about your finances anymore, because as you do and are diligent to do the word of the Lord, He is diligent and faithful to bring it to pass. Amen. 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 So be it. It's done. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I am free, and I know I can speak for myself. I can't speak for anybody else. But I know, without a shadow of a doubt, I know my salvation. I know that I am divinely made whole by the blood of Jesus Christ. I am made whole by Jesus. I know that. So coming to church, shouting to God, dancing before the Lord, really is who I am. That's who God made me to be. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't want anything from anything else than the Lord. Because that's where my strength is from. That's where my healing comes. That's where my deliverance is. I don't need to search for anything else. I don't have to search for money, because God's word says money is searching for me. Whew! Glory to God. When you know that, you don't go laboring after something. Amen. You labor in the Lord. You do the Lord's work, and money's like, I need to go attach myself to Him, because He's got something that the Lord wants done. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't have to go searching for anything but the Lord. And when you find Him, that's where the freedom lies. Hallelujah. Can you imagine walking out there in the world and saying, money's coming after me? Amen. Blessings are coming upon my life. I'm the healed of the Lord. I don't have to worry about the drug companies. I don't have to be concerned about COVID 55 and 280. Amen. I don't have to worry about what's being said, because I know what has been said. I don't have to wait for a word from somebody else when I got the word. Amen. But I know God has given us prophets. God has given us apostles, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints. I'm a saint, so I need to receive that just as much as the body does. I know those things are there, but they're just affirming what the Word says. Because if a prophet is not affirming the Word, he's a false prophet. If the teacher is not affirming the Word and ministering the Word, he's a false teacher. Amen? So by the Spirit of God, as I read the Word, study to show myself approved. Stop looking back at the Bible and bring it here so I don't have to turn around. If I stay looking at this, what they say is confirming this. I don't have to go look to get confirmation. I got it on the inside. I can spot a liar. I can spot somebody that's false. I had a man call on the church phone this week a few days ago asking for money. And I don't know him. I can't remember his name. But I just felt it in my spirit as he was talking that he's a liar and he's a cheat. And you know, you're a pastor and you're on the phone and the church is to love everybody. And I'm loving him. I'm listening to what he's saying. That he needs money, this, that, and the other. He's got a place to rent. By Friday, he'll be in there, but it's Wednesday and he doesn't have money for his hotel room. I was like, well, where are you at? He said the town he was in. I was like, what are you believing for? He didn't say anything. I said, well, this is what I can do. I can pray for you. Click. Right when I said I could pray for him. Who knows? I could have been praying for the Lord to speak to me on how much to give him. But he didn't worry about that. He wanted, send me the money now. And once I said, let me ask the Lord, let me pray, click. And it goes to show where he was. I'm not downing the man. I hope he gets breakthrough. I hope he finds Jesus. Amen. And gets set free. And the Lord blesses him to no end. But he's a cheat and a liar at the moment. And he's not going to get the church's money. Because it is the money that you released in faith to give with your tithes and offering that man was searching for. Come on, let's be honest. This is the church's house. It's sanctified, it's set apart. And the money, the funds that come in here are to fund the gospel, not to fund the crook. Amen. You guys need to know that as a pastor, that we're not just throwing your money away. It's going for souls. It's going for the kingdom. If people want something and they're hungry enough, they're going to come to the church. Amen. Amen. Not just call the church and ask for a handout. Because their heart needs to be changed. They need to repent and ask the Lord for help. Because if they don't get it from the Lord, they're going to be asking man the rest of their life. And that's how the government works. They ask man for everything. The funding of man, the funding of the working class is funding the government. Am I right or am I wrong? I am absolutely correct. This isn't a political platform, so I'm leaving it alone. But the principles found in here and the guidance of the Holy Spirit should be the same guidance in our government. There was no separation of church and state. The church should be in the state, hands down. Amen. There isn't this. There needs to be separation. The government wants separation because they don't want the authority of Almighty God over them. They're crooked. They're corrupt. Anyway, that's my political rant. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. And we need to pray for our officials. We love our officials. But they need the obedience of Jesus in their heart. They need the leading of the Holy Spirit. Just like all of us do. Just like they are running the government, some of you are running a business. All of us are running our lives. Amen. And we need the same guidance that runs us individually, needs to run us corporately, needs to run our business, and needs to run our government. Because the blessing comes on the obedient. Those who diligently seek the Lord. He is a rewarder. Hebrews 11:6, to those who diligently seek the Lord. Amen. So wherever there's diligence seeking the Lord, blessing comes. I'm telling you, in Africa, there is breakthrough in Ghana, in Nigeria, because they're coming alive to the Lord. And they're a third world country that has no money, but the blessing of the Lord is abundantly blessing them. How is that? God. God. Romans had all the money in the world. They had the best military in the world. What happened to Rome? Totally done. Money doesn't do it. Man's power doesn't do it. Only God. So the sooner we can realize and get the revelation, God needs to be number one, the quicker we'll get to the top. Amen. Not that we're trying to get to the top of man's things, but the quicker we'll get revelation that we can live in peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost, and dance all the days of our lives and not have a concern in the world. Amen. Except for the Lord's work. That needs to be our concern. That needs to be our focus. Amen. The title of the message today, God. And no. The title of the message today is Fearing the Lord. Because this is really the baseline for everything I just spoke on. Everything I just spoke on came out of my spirit. Had nothing to do with what I wrote down. But what I want you to understand is when you're coming out of Scripture, all Scripture's connected. As long as Jesus is in what you're saying, it'll flow together. Amen. You can chase many rabbits, but if you've ever been rabbit hunting, you give it time, that rabbit comes right on around. That's why they call it a rabbit trail. It always leads back to the cross. It always leads back to God. Every single time, everything revolves around Jesus. Amen. So if we run a little bit here or there, you're going to come back. You'll come back and settle into your house, to that comfort place. That's the essence, really, of the church. God sends people out, but the body, you come back, you get refreshed, you have family, you have fellowship, then you go out again. Go after it. Amen. And that's what makes the church so powerful. But if you run from God and you separate yourself, what's happening? Those rabid dogs are going to get a hold of you. It's going to catch up to you if you don't come back around to where your foundation is, to where you get sustenance from. If you stray away from the Word and you don't come back to the Word, you get into the flaky, false stuff. All right? If you go too far in your head and not renew your mind, your mind goes places it shouldn't go. If your body entertains things out there in the world, it's going to suck you away from having a holy temple. Right or wrong, you can look at me with that tone of voice all you want. I'm telling you, you stray from God and get out of fellowship with Him and other believers, the enemy will rock your world. He is trying to separate you to take you out. And that's how it operates. When someone gets offended, the first thing they do is leave and don't come back. The next thing they do is they stop tithing and giving. Just like that. Where your money is, where your heart is, that's where your money goes, the Bible says. So when your heart is removed, money goes instantly. Instantly. What you believe in, you give to. What are you believing in? Amen. If you're believing in taking care of animals and saving the world and recycling everything, you put money to that. If you believe in God, you put money to that. Amen. Let's get to the sermon. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians 2:4, I'm going to start out here. We've been through prayer and fasting, and we did corporately together, praying together for a week and a half. And now some of us are still continuing on the prayer and fasting, just not corporately, but individually. But I'm telling you, it brings supernatural, quick change, whew, very quickly. When you purpose in your heart and you set time aside, God's demonstration starts working in your thoughts, in your body, instantly. Instantly. I'm telling you, when you make a decision for God, God is right there, ever present, to start working on your behalf. Hallelujah. And that's what's taking place, and that's what brought this sermon to be, is through prayer and fasting, believing God, believing for change to take place. And I realized that He's taking me back to fundamentals to build what He wants to build. This prayer and fasting is not taking me to the place to go search for something. It's taking me to the place of total surrender and look up to God and not look at anything else. The Lord even spoke to me, the month of January is to focus on Him personally, myself. Not necessarily getting all the vision for the church as the senior pastor, but to get vision on Him, get my eyes fixed on Him, and stop thinking about everything else. Every Bible study, every program, everything that the church is about, just lay that down and say, Lord, me, you and I, we got to get things together. And He's pretty much saying, son, you got to get it together. I've been waiting. You know, just being honest with you, that's how it works. But I realized here that our theme is holy encounters for 2023. And we're believing God that He's going to encounter us. And when a holy God encounters you, you become holy. 1 Peter 1:16 is our scripture for the year. Memorize this. It's very easy. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. If you meditate on that, it'll change your life. Be holy, for I am holy. You need to study that out and understand what that means. New Living Translation says this: you must be holy, for I am holy. You must be holy, for I am holy. That translation is making a command on our lives that God, as a holy God, is putting us to the place that we become holy and must be holy. Amen. You need to understand that the way God operates is in holiness. I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to share it. There's four areas that moves of God have gone through over the last 60 years. All right? One of those areas, I took it out of my sermon, so I better come up with it since I started it. One of them is healing revivals, where people could get healed, like, easy. You know, be healed. Boom. Miracle took place. A move of God. God was moving on the land during the healing revivals. The word of faith movement, which was a preaching of the word. Amen. Believing in the word of God. Teaching was very strong in the word of faith movement. Okay? The next one is Pentecostal, which is the Holy Ghost and fire. All right? And in the Pentecostal movement, there was great moves of God. Amen. Revivals broke out. All right? So these are different areas where God really poured out in a time frame in history where it was happening in all over the world, not just in a church or something. It was big. It was a big move of God. And the fourth one, which is, I believe, coming in back into existence now, along with the other three, because it's the end time move of God, is the holiness movement, where sanctification, purification, repentance, and people getting on their face before God is going to be the everyday life of the believer. Amen. It's gone by the wayside. It is coming back, because God is coming back for a holy church. We must be holy, for He is holy. We can have the Holy Ghost and fire. We can have a healing revival. We can have great and awesome teaching. All those are culminating now with a holiness in the church that's dividing the sheep and the goats. It's the strong things, the strongholds are coming down. The money wheel that is funding evil is going to come down. Amen. And the church is going to take its place and Jesus is going to come back. I'm telling you, we're entering the season of holiness. Grab a hold of it. Holy encounter, because a holy God is coming back for His church. And He's going to encounter His people. You're going to see people set on fire. You're going to see the lame walk, the blind see in a miraculous way. It is going to happen, amen? And sign me up. I'm going to be a part of it. God, use me. I want to be the first. I want to be the center. But what is He taking me? This prayer and fast has taken me to a place that has nothing to do with me. It has to be Him. It has to be Him above everything else. Amen. We must be holy, for I am holy. The word holy is sacred. Physically pure, morally blameless. Physically pure and morally blameless. It's talking about your soul and your body. Holiness is your mind renewed and your body in line with it. That's holiness. Amen. It's a sacred place that the Lord wants us to be. It's consecration. Amen. Consecrating our lives. As I said before, when God encounters your life, it becomes holy. And it produces holiness in you. The more God enters you, the more you become like God. I'm not saying you become a God. You take on the attributes of God. You start doing the Lord's work. You walk in the commandments of God. You walk in love all the days of your life. Man, when I talk to people and they're like, I know the Lord, leave me alone. I'm thinking to myself, that's not the same Lord that I know. But God is loving. God will take time with people. God will interact with people. Ah, Jesus. Every person needs an encounter from the Holy One. Every person needs an encounter. Not just one encounter, but they do need a main encounter. And that main encounter is salvation. Every single person needs Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's the first holy encounter every person needs. Till they receive that, they're in religion. Till they're in that, they're running in their flesh. They're trying to figure out life based off of works. You hear it all the time. You know, if I'm this good, hopefully the Lord will give grace and love upon me and I'll make it in. Hopefully I'll stumble in. Hopefully the walls of the church doesn't catch on fire when I show up. You know, all these things people say based off of their ability or inability to do what God says to do. They base it totally off of themselves. Totally. Till they have that encounter with God, all that goes out and you become nothing before God, pretty much. You lay it all down. You sacrifice yourself to God. And he takes out that stony, hard heart and gives you a heart that he can work with. Love enters in. That's the encounter that people need. And that's based off of that encounter. That's every other encounter the Lord gives to people. Is the love of God coming on the inside. Healing areas. Delivering mindsets. Pulling down strongholds. Conviction comes by the love of God. Everything the Holy Spirit does in us is based out of God's love for us. Remember that. If you're going through a time of conviction where you lived like you shouldn't have lived, or you said something you shouldn't have said and you need to repent, do it, because the love of God is going to be poured out in it. He is going to change your life for the better if you give him your life. Amen. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. The title of the message today, The Fear of the Lord. Here we go. This is where the Lord has taken me. Not fear in a negative way. Not like a phobia where you're in terror, you're scared. The fear of the Lord is nothing to be scared about. At all. It doesn't mean that at all. It may be terrifying to your flesh, meaning you're going to have to submit. You're going to have to follow after. But when it comes to fear like the world looks at fear, like a haunted house or the dark or something, it's nothing like that. Totally opposite. The fear of the Lord is reverence. It's reverence to God. Fear is morally reverent. It's what it really basically means is you are submitting to a greater authority and dominion over your life. That's the fear of the Lord. You're reverencing something higher than yourself. See, he brought it back to me. I'll say, the government does not look at the authority over them. Every government in the world that doesn't accept Jesus as their supreme authority, they are making the rules. There's nothing above them. They have total control. And what do? If man has control, they put that control and put the people into bondage. See, leadership that does not have Jesus as head, they decide how everything below them looks. You husbands out there, what is your head dictates what you put on your wife and your children. And all the men ran out of the church. Seriously, conviction, let it come. Let them change your life. Let you be a better husband, a more godly husband that has humility, that seeks the Lord. This prayer and fast is, I'm preaching my sermon. I'm preaching what I'm going through. I had conviction over how I was a husband, how I'm a pastor, how I lead, how I preach, how I study, how I live, how I spend my time. All that is being on the altar through this fast. So I'm not preaching this out of me up here and you down here. I'm preaching this out of we're all on the same level, searching for God. The fear of the Lord, a holy reverence for God, it's missing in the church. It's missing in the church because holy reverence submits your whole vessel, your whole body, your whole life to the Lord. Don't just put God above in an area. Sunday morning, I'm going to church. That's great. But God has to be authority Monday through Saturday. Don't pick and choose where you revere God. Because the blessing is only going to be where you revere God. He is going to not bless you in the areas that you want control. Or that you have control. And sometimes we don't know what that looks like. I'm not saying this like people are living in sin and they're purposefully doing this. God is revealing things to me. I've been in ministry since 2010. God's revealing simple things to me that I've been missing. And I'm like, oh Jesus, I'm so sorry. You would think would be obvious. This isn't a judgment thing. This isn't you've missed it. This isn't you're a bad person. This is we need to get to a place where it's all God. Known sin, unknown sin. Past hurts, things we don't realize are attached to us. Amen. Mindsets that we've grown up with, things passed down from our family that have been not necessarily the will of God. We just got to see them for what they are and adjust it. This isn't a bop over the head, you're bad. This is a open up your head, let's realize there's more to life than what we've been seeing. There's more to God than what we know right now. There's more revelation out there that we don't see. Every single pastor should go through this. A fasted life, a consecrated life, is the life God's called us to be. This isn't some new thing. It just hasn't been preached because it's not a seeker-friendly message. Repentance is not a seeker-friendly message. If you look at the past revivals, those ministers preach repentance. I'm telling you, in such a way, people not even in the service were getting healed. Husbands were getting healed, set free, sitting at home drinking, cussing their wife that went to the meeting. They got made whole because of preaching on repentance and the anointing was so strong. Weren't even in the service. But God's love was so powerful and revealed in such a way that it healed the land. It healed the land. It healed people that weren't even in the service. That is the fear of God. Putting God as authority over everything. Reverencing Him above everything else. It's not a scary place, but a peaceful place. See, the fear of the Lord is reverencing God and revering Him in everything you do. Why do you think it says, be quick to listen and slow to speak? So our spirit can catch up with our lips and say, you probably shouldn't say that. It gives that moment of time like a holy hush before you say what your flesh wants to say. See, that's reverencing God. Why is it so quiet in here? Everybody must be repenting about what they said this morning. What I'm saying, you give God the opportunity to work. Even in a message, I am a preacher. Preacher is my calling. I love to preach. Preachers proclaim. Preachers speak. But the preacher sometimes needs to shut up and let the Holy Spirit minister. The preacher preaches the word, the gospel, the good news, but then the Holy Spirit does the changing, rearranging, and speaks to the heart of the person. If the preacher doesn't give time for the Holy Spirit, it's all about the preacher only. All right? So that's an area I'm working on. All right? I'm just being honest with you. This isn't about you. It's about us. It's about what the Lord is doing. He's bringing a reverence to the church. I'm going to talk about four areas this morning, possibly this afternoon, as we move forward. The first one, the fear of the Lord. It puts God on notice. If you're taking notes, it puts God on notice. What do I mean by that? The fear of the Lord gets God's attention. Fasting and prayer, taking time with God, reading your Bible, praying and seeking the Lord puts God on notice. It's kind of like God's up here where faith is operating. See, this won't be on video, but if I was God and I was looking over, I kind of like this. If I was looking over, God is looking for faith. wherever faith is operating, boom, that gets God's attention. So if Rick is like believing God and he's confessing the word, God is like, what's Rick saying? I'm on to Rick. I'm going to answer his prayer. I'm focused on Rick. You get what I'm saying here? But if you're just in works trying to manufacture or manifest something in your own power, God's not interested in that. All you're doing is laboring and wearing yourself out. And the church has got caught up in not seeking the Lord, pressing into God, and doing a bunch of tasks. And God's not in it, and it's a dead work. And everybody's tired because God's not in it. Have you ever done something for a while and then you realize, this was for God, but where is God? Many times. But you realize where faith is in operation, where the heart is pure and set apart and repented, God is like, I'm ready. I'm looking to you, son or daughter. What do you have need of? Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock in the door. All those are actions on our part. Ask, seek, press in, knock. God, your word says this. Those are things that we are doing that get, what does God do? He reveals it to us. We find it. Or the door is opened. What better thing? You ask for something, you receive that something. You seek that, you receive that. You knock and the door is open. That's called answered prayer. And how that operates is sin better not, can't be there. A repentant heart has to be the way to enter those places. If there's unforgiveness, the Bible says in Mark, unforgiveness in your life, your prayers are going to be hindered. If you're in offense, if you're in unforgiveness, you might as well not even pray. I'll be quite honest with you. Your prayer needs to be repentance. It needs to put God first. Lord, I'm sorry. Because if you don't repent from sin, what you're doing is you're trying to bring your sin into the holy place of God. You're trying to interact with the holy God with sin in your life. And it doesn't operate there. God is a holy God. He sent his son to deal with sin. He doesn't want to mess with sin any longer because sin's already been dealt with. You understand what I'm saying? So when you come to God with sin, God's pretty much up there. This isn't scripture, but God's pretty much up there saying, my son, I sent and died on the cross for what you're trying to bring to me now. I dealt with that. Here's the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Get the sin dealt with, then enter into a holy God. Ask the high priest when you get to heaven how well they did if they brought sin into the Holy of Holies. They didn't make it out because it's a holy place. See, religious church is trying to enter with a holy God and have covenant and blessing and provision with a holy God. But sin is in the camp. These are the type of messages that are going to start coming out in the body of Christ. I'm telling you, repentance is on the forefront now. Repentance is on the forefront now. Remember, the fear of the Lord is good. Repentance. When has it ever been bad to repent? Never. It is never bad to get rid of sin. It lightens the load. It brings healing. Anytime there's sin, sin leads to death, the Bible said. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. So right there from the get-go, if you understand how sin operates, sin is killing you. And people, man wants to put a level on sin. Sin is sin. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So you got a little sin in there, it's messing your whole thing up. The wages of sin is death. So if you choose to not sanctify and set yourself apart wholly, fully for God, and you hold on to things, you're limiting yourself from God, from a holy God. That's what sin does. The payment for sin, the wage for sin is death. So literally, we can be physically killing ourselves because of sin we're living in. Think about it. alcoholism, addiction to things, stress. Stress kills you. Anxiety and fear will kill you. Literally, they physically affect your body. The Bible says that. A merry heart does good like medicine. There's a holy God that has a medication for you. And it's called the joy of the Lord. And that's what gives you strength. Amen. And if you're sitting there saying, well, I don't know how to get the joy. Jesus, He's the joy giver. Amen. The Holy Ghost is the one that gives joy. But if you are plugging up the Holy Ghost from moving, you're pretty much telling God that I'm not going to get the joy because I want to do it myself. You cannot, you can, but you're going to live in that place. You're never going to get true freedom if you hold on to sin. Never, never will you get to the place of joy, peace, where people say things or they message you and they talk about you and do all, and you laugh at it. You get words from men and women of God that are sharp, that are seeking the Lord. But any other words out there that man is saying, they don't bother you. You get around the people that are going to encourage you. Stop hanging around negative people. Stop listening to negative words. Stop watching negative TV. All it is breeding sin, giving you more opportunity to have to repent. Think about it. I'm trying to help you out. Save your electric bill. Save your time. People are wondering about where's time at. Back in the day, their time was with the Lord. You can even look at old movies. They went to the church. They went to church. They visited and had fellowship together. I think about people like my grandparents' age. When I was younger, like 20, 30 years ago, they'd sit on the back porch together and have coffee. People don't fellowship anymore. That's their fellowship. They don't know how to write a resume or communicate with people. And then you think, well, that's not that big a deal. They can get free from that. Sure, they can get free from it. But how do they communicate with their Heavenly Father if they can't even communicate with the person in front of them? Come on, I am preaching something that the world needs to hear. They're being lied to by being sucked into something. I have 5,000 followers. That's great. Not one single one of them is going to come to you and pray with you and help you in your time of need. I'd rather follow one man, Jesus, and have zero followers. I'm a pastor. I shouldn't have said that. Love you guys. Love you guys. But honestly, if I don't get to that place of sanctification myself that me and the Lord need to have, I'm not deserving of one follower. Come on. I am so preaching. This is where the rubber meets the road. People are caught up in things they need not be caught up in, and it's affecting their blessing. It's affecting their healing. It's affecting their finances. It's affecting their time. I'm telling you, I'm not advocating this. You can cut your TV subscription off. Save money, save time, focus on the Lord, spend more time with your family, and your life will be better. Your life will be so much better. But you have to make that decision yourself. I'm never going to get done. Putting God on notice, that's where I went on that rabbit trail. Bring it back around. Malachi 3:16 through 18. It says, and those who feared the Lord, all these scriptures are about fearing the Lord. I'm going to go through them, write them down. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. The fear of the Lord, you talk to Him, you'll talk to each other. God is present in your conversations. God should be present as you talk to people. If you're talking in secret, you're trying to hide something from God. Gossip. What is gossip? Gossip is not fruitful at all. You're just being nosy about somebody else. You need to repent from gossip. What does the Bible say? every idle word will be judged. So if you don't repent from your gossip now, there's going to be judgment coming your way. I love you. I love you so much, I'm going to give you the truth. The Bible says it. I'm not good enough to pull something out of the Bible to help defend you later on. I got to give you what it says. Because that is what's going to give you freedom. And that's what's going to give you an enjoyable life hereafter. Because your mansion is being made by your words right now. Your works right now are affecting your eternal future. You're building your future right now. Or you're limiting your future right now. Amen. I knew this would fly. Yes. So, and the Lord listened to him, listened and heard. So a book of remembrance was written. Look what the Lord's doing. A book of remembrance before him for those that fear the Lord. God is writing down, taking information of our reverence for him. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. Whew. The Lord is refining us. I'm telling you, you may be a rough little block of stone, but the Lord is doing a refining work on you. You are a diamond in the rough. You are a jewel in God's eyes. Man will pass you by and say, look at that dirty thing. God said, give me that. It has worth. That's you. That's me. That's every single believer. Every single human. Let me rephrase that. Every single human, God sees the potential in them, whether they see it or not. Some in the church still have, they feel like dirt all over them. They're not good enough. I'm telling you, you're more than good enough. You're more than good enough because of him. He created you good. Come on. You got to see yourself as good. I don't care if you're not the what you think is the best Christian. You've only been saved so long. You've failed in a couple areas. Guess what? We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. There's still potential. God still loves you. He still can refine you and make you better. Amen. But I'm ministering to the church. I'm ministering to you today. That you already have been mined out of the world. Amen. As a believer. But there is more refining to take place. God's peeling back the layers of crud in your life. And you may say, well, I've had generations of crud. I'm telling you, one word from God can get you to a place where you're beautiful, glowing. Set on fire. Glowing on the mountaintop. You thought you were the dirtiest, lowest in the valley. All of a sudden, phew, he plucked you right on the mountaintop. You got to see that. If you see yourself like that, it brings so much sweet joy to your life. So much joy comes, floods your spirit. You're like, oh my God, God loved me so much. He took me out of this world. And he's coming back again for me. And that's what I hold fast to. That's what causes me to minister. The fear of the Lord causes me to minister. Causes me to serve the Lord all the days of my life. Causes me to repent when I need to. Amen. Causes me to receive correction from others when need be. Amen. Yes, I do receive correction from people. And it's not just my wife. Amen. I receive from our leadership team. I receive from the apostolic authority above me. Someone that's a man of God. I read in a book one time in Smith Wigglesworth. And he talked and he said that you should never look or say anything about someone that's producing more fruit than you. Amen. And I read that and I thought to myself, yeah, there's fruit being produced here, but I have no reason to talk about anybody, any other minister that's producing fruit. Amen. Guess what? That cuts out of like over 50% of what ministers talk about. Amen. Or more. About what this church is doing or this church is doing or what they're not doing or this, that, and the other. No, stay away from that. So if you're criticizing someone that's out there soul winning and you're not, your words are... let me give you some word. I'm going to stay behind the pulpit. Verse 17. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as man spares his own son who serves him. God's going to spare us. You have no need to worry about what's going to happen. If all you're doing is listening to what's happening in China and Taiwan and Russia and nuclear this and nuclear, don't worry about that. The Lord's got you. What does His Word say? And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. If you're serving the Lord, you have nothing to be concerned about what's going on out there. God will, He loves you. You're beautiful in His eyes. He's going to pull you right out, right at the divine time. No need to concern. No need to worry about that stuff. All that does is breed fear in you. Every time they state, oh, there's another strain coming. Oh, I think to myself, gee, get thee behind me, Satan. You're a liar and a cheat. We're supposed to assemble together. We're supposed to break bread together. We're supposed to continue in the apostles' doctrine and prayer till He returns. Amen? Till He returns. So what does that tell me? He's going to keep us till He returns. I don't need to concern myself with that. It's a waste of time that is disrupting my faith walk with the Lord. It's trying to have fear enter in. See, when you reverence God, you want all of God and none of the world. And then God leads you into the world to bring souls into the kingdom, to minister in love on people. But you need to, here it is, get ready. You need to know that He loves you first. Because you can't love others till you know that you're loved. When people come to me, or our wives come and they're like, well, my husband this and my husband, and or husbands come about their wife this, that, and the other. If someone is aggressive, they don't love themselves. The Bible tells us that in John. John talks about that. There's no greater love than to lay down your life for a brother. Amen. So if there's no greater love than to lay down your life, you'll put someone else above yourself. And if you can't, you don't know the love of God. You don't know agape love. You don't understand why Jesus even came. God so loved the world, He laid down His life for you. He saw fit that you were good enough to come for. And He didn't look at how much sin, how big the sin, or how long the sin. God doesn't look at the height, length, depth of your sin. He defeated it all. So the person that's living in sin habitually, 100% of the time, all the time, drunkard, cusser, this, that, and the other, is no worse than the one that is bashing God or bashing their brother. Still sin. And God deals with it all. He dealt with it all. Maybe I'm not supposed to minister this sermon. We'll see. Let's keep going. Verse 18. This is like my second scripture. We've been here an hour. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve God. Get that. Underline that. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked. When you reverence God, He gives you discernment. This person, don't hang around. They are bad. They are not going to edify you. They're not going to help you. Not that you write them off, but you don't get close to them. Just good arm distance is good. Amen. You don't have to be best friends with everybody. God's even saying that. You're not buddies with everybody. Soul winning, living for God doesn't mean I can't be friends with everybody in the church. Sorry. I can't. If I was that, I couldn't do what I'm supposed to do. Because it's difficult. When you become friends with people, it's hard to minister to them when it comes to a hard time. What I mean by that is if they're in sin and they're disobedient, it's hard to bring correction. Amen. Love you guys, but there's an element of a pastor different from a friend. Amen. And there's an element of a friend different than a pastor. Okay? Love you guys, but there's an element. Same thing with a parent. There needs to be an element of parenting, not being a friend with your kids. Because a friend does everything to benefit the other one. And I understand that to a degree. You want to spend time with your kids. You want them to love you. But love is not giving them everything. Whatever they ask for. Oh, sure. You want $1,000? Sure, here you go. You want a new truck? Here you go. No, that's not love. If love worked that way, when Jesus rose from the grave, instantly from that day forward, everyone would be saved and translated to heaven. Right? Think about it. Everybody would be supernaturally healed instantly, just like that. Doesn't matter what your will is. When God did it, it happened. See, kids need to be trained in the things of God. They need a little space to fall. Don't look at me like that. You grandparents the same way. Yeah, that's what I thought. They need space to learn and grow. If they're given everything, they don't understand how it was gotten. Come on. That's why, as a believer, people need to stand in faith on their own, not just trust in the pastor's faith and do what he says to do and that only. You got to dig in the Word yourself. You got to seek after God yourself. You got to revere God yourself. My fear of the Lord is not the same as your fear of the Lord. Because the blessing operates based off of reverence for God. So if you try to be like me, you're already in sin. Because we're not supposed to be like somebody else. We're supposed to be what God intended us to be. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve God. That's a good deciding factor. Discernment. Born again, spirit-filled, or do not know the Lord. There's some separate. If you're married to an unbeliever, you stay with them if they want to be with you. There's scripture about that. I'm not going to get in that. But you actually bless your spouse as a believer. They become set apart and blessed because your faithfulness. Because you have covenant. Okay? God does not break covenant. Man breaks covenant. If God broke covenant, that would mean that Jesus' blood sometimes doesn't work. And that'll never happen. God does not break covenant. Hardness of heart in man breaks covenant every time. Hardness of heart to him will cause you to pull away from him. Hardness of heart to your spouse will cause separation there. Right? But God doesn't cause that. So covenant is never broken from God. God's covenant is firm from Genesis to Revelation. It cannot be broken. Man breaks covenant. All right? Not the covenant message. Here we go. Psalms 33:18. Behold, the eyes of the Lord is on those who fear him. God is looking at those that reverence him. The eyes of the Lord is on those who fear him. On those who hope in his mercy. See, fear actually causes you to receive the mercy of God, not the judgment of God. Get that? By fearing the Lord, you are operating in the mercy, God's mercy on your life. Because fear, you repent, you get rid of sin, his mercy floods your soul. So when you walk and you live in the fear of the Lord, you walk and you live in the mercy of God. Because he sees you as putting him number one. Priority. And when he's priority, you're priority. See the covenant there? See how that builds, that relationship will grow and grow and grow. So the more you fear God and reverence him in every area, mercy floods that area. You wonder why people, men of God or women of God, some of them live and it seems like things are working for them. And other times, there tends to be struggle after struggle after struggle. Some of the time, not all of the time, some of the time, that is because obedience to follow after God. We all have struggles. We all have issues. Sickness tries to come on our body. But I'm telling you, when you are in the fear of the Lord, God's mercy is all over you. God's provision is all over you. God's blessing is all over you. It can't help but be you. you become the blessed of the Lord. You become the healed of the Lord. And you don't accept anything less because nothing else trumps God. When you reverence God, nothing else is there second, third, or fourth. It's Him and it. That's it. Jesus and Him alone whom I worship. So nothing else has any authority to come in when God has full reign. If you're so full of God, this is the goofiest looking. If you're so full of God, nothing else fits. If you're so full of faith, fear's not there. If faith is through the roof, nothing can come in. You're rock solid on all sides. You got the armor of God. You have the peace of God. You have God's protection. Nothing else can come in when you reverence Him for everything. Why wouldn't we want that? And it's all God doing it. It's just a decision. It's just a decision, church. You don't have to go to church for 15 years and sit on the front row to get the fear of the Lord. You can reverence Him in every area based off a decision. You just got to know what you're reverencing. Oh my goodness. We're going to have a part 2 and 3. See, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Where do you want me to go? Thank you, Lord. Psalms 25:14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. The secret things, the hidden things of God, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. Do you want to find out God's most intimate things? Reverence Him in every area. You want to find out how to be the best husband? Reverence God as a man. Give Him your life. Don't try to be 10 feet tall and bulletproof. Don't try to be the toughest man on the block. My uncle used to say, I don't know if he's listening or not, or if he even does listen, but he always used to tell me this when I was younger. He'd make a muscle. He's a big guy. And he's like, strongest hands in South Jersey. And one time it just came to me, I said to him, what about North Jersey? It was just total silence. And I was like, you think you're tough here, but once you branch out, there's always somebody bigger, you know? I was like, I'm a pretty big guy. And then Rick shows up, and I'm like, darn, big man. We as men have a tendency to think we got it together till revelation comes that we have nothing together, and we need God for everything. And the women said amen, but the women, it's the same thing. Man's way is opposite of God. And the scripture, and I can't think of the scripture off the top of my head, but it says everything, paraphrase, whatever a man thinks, that's the way he takes. That's total bad way of quoting it. If somebody finds that scripture, that'd be great, because I don't like butchering scriptures. But what it's saying is whatever a man thinks, that's what he thinks is the right way. But that doesn't mean it's the right way. That does not mean it's the right way. And when it says man, it means mankind. Women too. Children too. We tend to think what we know is the best way. Even as a leader, who cares what I think? What is God saying? And that's what a prayer and a fast does, is it gets you in tune with what He's saying, not what you're thinking. And our thoughts start to get in line with His word and what He's saying. Let me read that scripture again, and then we'll see what the Lord has. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. So it could say the secret of the Lord is not with those. Or you know what I mean? The opposite. So if you do not fear the Lord, you're not going to find out the secret things. Why do you think Paul had so much revelation? He sought the Lord. He gave everything to the Lord. He had a total holy encounter that transformed his life on the road to Damascus. And that encounter served him the rest of his ministry. Even to the point of not going to a town knowing that that would be the last time he goes there. To the point of death, martyrdom. You know, every apostle was martyred except for John. Every apostle was martyred except for John. Think about that. They needed a holy encounter to do what they did. And John, if you read other teachings, not in the Bible, but their writings from that time, John was dipped in hot oil. Tell me God was not on John. What did John write about the most? Love. The love of God. All through the gospel, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Love. Total surrender and commitment to the love of God. Allowing God's love to flow through you. That is why John had so much insight writing the book of Revelation. Why do you think there was something special about John? It was love. John could see things that others didn't see. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. As I read Genesis through Revelation, and I read about the different covenants, and then I read about the covenant that we have, the New Testament, I think to myself, I want to know everything about the times that I'm living in. And when I take that stance, that scripture comes alive to me. And it starts to work in my spirit that, hey, I'm living in a covenant now that God has for the church, the dispensation of the church, from the resurrection of Jesus Christ till the coming of the church, or till his coming for the church. Not the second coming. Let me give you a little word of wisdom here. Little knowledge here. The second coming is not the rapture of the church. The second coming is when we come back to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Because when Jesus comes for the church, he doesn't come back to the earth. He's in the cloud. And we meet him in the cloud. Get a hold of that, because a lot of people say, oh, his second coming is near. No, the church has to get raptured and the tribulation has to happen. Okay? So we need to realize there's a difference here. All right, so we are in the dispensation of the resurrection when Jesus rose and ascended into heaven and the Holy Spirit came till Jesus comes back in a cloud to receive the church back up. That's where we are. That's the covenant we're living in. That's the time we're living in, the book of Acts. That's where we are. We are still writing the book of Acts. You are the book of Acts. There's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. There are, the church is growing. The church is multiplying. Amen. We're feeding the 5,000. What took place in Acts is happening now. Tongues of fire is coming on people. Amen. And guess what else happened in Acts that nobody wants to talk about? Ananias and Sapphira came in and lied to the Holy Ghost and they dropped dead. We don't hear about that. We don't see it yet. But that is in the book of Acts. And I can't take it out as much as I want to. But if you're lying to God, I'm telling you, that's where the world gets, oh, the Lord's going to strike me or the church is going to catch on fire. But that's, God is waiting. He is earnestly crying out for people to repent and come to him. Because we're not in the judgment yet, but we are right on the edge. It is time, church. The harvest is ready. People are ready and ripe because the Lord is working on them even before you talk to them. Don't think when you go up in soul win, that's the first time that the Lord or the Holy Spirit has done something around them. Or they've seen something where the Lord did something to someone else that they know. People aren't oblivious to it. God gave them a spirit. God created them. He is stirring on them to receive him. And that'll cause you not to make yourself prideful if you get somebody saved. Because it's not you. It's Christ in you that gives them hope and glory. Amen?
Amen. If you could bow your heads, I just feel that this is a good place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I'm so thankful for the reverence of God, the fear of the Lord that's coming upon the church, Lord God. Coming upon believers, Lord God, because that's where revival starts. It starts in the heart and the minds of the church. Each and every believer is where revival starts. A man or woman of God that reverence God, that believes God for the supernatural and the power of God to be revealed in and through them in the land in which they live. Father, I thank you that there's a great awakening, that there's revival in the land, that there's a stirring in the hearts of your people, Lord God. There's a stirring in the church, Lord God, for repentance and reverence, for a holy God to be in their services, to be in their marriages, to be in their families, to be in their own personal devotion time. Consecration to God, setting themselves apart to be used by God. The time is short. The days are numbered. God's coming back. Jesus is at the door. He's knocking on the door of people's hearts. He may be knocking on your door right now. Whether you're here or listening online, God knows how and when to knock. God knows the desires of your heart. God knows what you have need of. And God has a huge blessing right at the door. Right at the door. Holy Spirit, I thank you. I thank you that you're ministering right now to your people. Just a settling. Right now, the Holy Spirit is settling on people's hearts. Stirring things up. Stirring things up. Stir them up, Lord. Stir them up, Lord. Stir them up, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. You may be listening online. Never heard a message quite like this. I'm telling you, God is real. God is living. He's alive and He's well. God sent His Son to die for you. To wash away the sin. To wash away the hurt. To wash away the things of this world that are hindering you and hurting you and holding you back. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. You may not think you're lost, but if you don't know Jesus, unfortunately you are. You can look to the world to find sustenance or happiness, but it's a false hope. It's a lie. But truth has come, and His name's Jesus. And He wants to come and live with you. He wants to come and abide with you, to help you, to deliver you, to save you from this wicked and perverse generation. If you're struggling with what's going on in society, you're wondering what's taking place. You're wondering how things are going to happen, what's going to happen. You're constantly in fear and doubting about what's taking place. You don't know. Fear has gripped your soul. Now is the time to receive Jesus and break free. God's bringing you out of that place of fear. He'll break it off of you. He'll give you a life of peace, wholeness, happiness, and joy. A peace that passes all your understanding. You may be sitting there saying, I'm trying to figure this thing called life out. But I keep running into things. I keep getting stuck in areas. My wheels are spinning. People that I thought were for me seem to be against me. My friends that I thought were friends that we hung out together now have disowned me. Now don't want any part of me. I don't know what I did wrong. I don't know why they don't like me. You may be on social media and all of a sudden people are writing negative things about you, or your followers are dwindling. I'm telling you, there's a God that loves you. There's a God that'll never leave you nor forsake you. He sent His Son Jesus to come, to live with you, to abide with you, to strengthen you and sustain you. All you need to do is ask Him into your heart. Believe with your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, and you shall be saved. If you're listening online and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, I want you to take the time right now. Ask Jesus in. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again. Jesus, I believe that you're coming back for me. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior from this day forward. There it is. Peace, joy flooding you right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You feel His tangible presence upon your life. Run to Him. Don't run from Him. Get a Bible. Get the Word into you. Get online and find books about salvation. Contact us. NewFreedomChurch.Church. Call us. 778-4208-410. Reach out. Reach out. Find people around you that know Jesus. They want to help you. Find a local church in your area that preaches the Bible, that believes in the Holy Spirit, in the ministering of the Holy Spirit. Find a church and get involved. Serve. The Lord is with you. He's for you. Once you ask Him in, it's never the same again. He loves you. He's going to take you places. He's going to bring walls down you've been trying to bring down for decades. He's going to strengthen a relationship that you thought would never get turned around. He's going to allow you to talk to family members that have disowned you. There's going to be a love on the inside of you that you don't understand, but you must obey. It's the love of God. Oh, God, thankful for what He's done. Your best days are yet to come. Your best years are yet to come. Run to God and not from Him. He loves you. If you need healing, it operates the same way, by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, touch my body right now. I believe you as Lord and Savior of my life. I believe you're the great physician. If you have pain in your back, Lord, touch them now in Jesus' name. Wherever you have pain, put your hand there and say, Jesus, touch my body. I rebuke the pain. Father, I thank you that you have healed me, that I am made whole by the blood of Jesus. By your stripes I am healed. I shall not walk in sickness or pain or disease any longer in Jesus' name. If you've gotten a bad report from the doctor, I'm telling you, Jesus has a good report for you. Exchange the report. Exchange the report. I'm not receiving this negative report. I receive this positive report that I am made whole. In Jesus' name, I am whole from this day forward. Father, I thank you. You're a holy God that promises that your word will not return void, but it will go and do what you intended to do. And Father, you intend for healing upon your people. So we send your word and you heal your people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Whatever it is that you have, Jesus is the answer. Doesn't matter what you've been told. Doesn't matter what you believed your whole life. God is here. God is present and God is healing spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name. I thank you for it now. We declare it. We agree together. Every believer that knows Jesus as Lord and Savior and that is their healer and their deliverer believes with you. We are in agreement together. We loose the blessing of God in Jesus' name upon your life, upon your marriage and your family, upon your children and your household. From this day forward, your house shall serve the Lord. Decide that purpose in your heart that you'll serve the Lord all the days of your life. And you will see the glory of God all the days of your life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we commit this. We declare it. We decree it. We believe it. It shall manifest every day. In Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Amen. Glory to God. You got what you needed. If you released your faith, you got what you needed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.